My full name is Herman Joshua Wallace, Joshua as in the Bible. I first came to Angola in 1960, and I was released in 1961. And I was arrested on the 15th of January, 1967. And in 1969, I was returned to Angola State Penitentiary, and I've been here ever since. My conditions have been, you know, up and down. The conditions that they have been placing me up under since 72. They have put Albert and I and King as well in CCR. And at that time, CCR had no fans. They had no televisions, no radios. They had nothing. It was just a blank, dank cell. And we had to make some changes as a result of that cell. From that part, we had left from CCR up there on the hill after we had accomplished a great deal. We were even allowed to go on the yard. And things were, you know, the food was terrible, and they had hatches nigh in the door that, you know, after hunger strikes that we had conducted and stuff of this nature. And it got somewhat better under the conditions that we were when we first came. There were no means for classification or reclassifying a person until about a year and something later. They set up a reclass board for us every 90 days that they would have to meet. They would keep us in here by refusing to release us for the nature of the original reason for being locked up. But that was all a fraud. And basically, that's one of the reasons why we have this lawsuit that's ongoing today.
Describe the conditions that you faced for the last 30 years and more, and why you're there. Is it political, and what are the specific conditions? Because I don't think people understand closed cell restriction.
Closed cell restriction, I think we have to be careful with that, because we're talking about an area that's isolated from the man prison population. We're talking about conditions whereby you have no physical contact with other prisoners and other people, for that matter. You don't work. You just stay in a cell. Everywhere you go, you have to be in restraint. This is closed cell restriction. It restricts anybody else from coming within that area where you are housed at unless you are a prisoner of that status. As far as being political, you have other men here who are non-political. Great deal of them are here for protective custody. As far as what we are talking about right now is long-term confinement. It exceeds closed cell restriction. It's done gone beyond what is actually required for originally placing people in cells like this. We have the warden himself made statements that he was not going to take and release us because of our political beliefs. And recently, I was just found guilty for having written a poem, and sentenced me to the KMJ Punishment Unit as a result of that. Now, we're talking the First Amendment freedom of speech here. I don't want to get away from the fact that CCR, closed cell restriction, is punishment. They say it's not punishment. It's only a place to hold a person because there's nowhere else to put them at. But we are giving you certain amount of privileges in order to maintain or come up with the Prisoner Litigation Reform Act. But that's not so. Punishment sets in because there are a great deal of things. So I have to visit behind a screen, petition. I would like to be with my family and sitting down with them without restraints on, or having children not tripping over the restraints on my legs. This is the type of stuff that we have to go through in CCR. We only go on the yard 3 days a week for 1 hour. And we go out in restraints, then we come back in restraints. But once we're on the yard, the restraints are removed here at the CCR. And we are in a little small cage, a pen, so to speak. When you compare that with the man prison population, this type of treatment is just not tolerable. Unless there's an order from the court ordering these people to release me from the CCR, I would more than likely die here in the CCR. And that's basically the way these people see it, and that's why they are fighting so hard to keep me here.
Why did the warden say that he wouldn't let you out of your closed cell restriction?
Albert and I are a symbol for the rest of the prison population. If you conduct yourself as these men, we're going to put you in a place like this, and you'll never get out of it. Earl King, he has taken away everything that's Afrocentric, and he's turned it upside down. This man has sent in rules stating that anyone who wears Afro hairstyle or bushes, braids, dreadlocks, anything that's dealing with black history, it's a rule violation. You can't even shake hands. You can't have your hair cut in a certain type of way. I had a piece of wood that was carved in a shape of a fist. It was colored black. Well, I went to the dungeon for it. Found me guilty for gang-related material. Black Panther Party material that I possess in my cell, and I have some today. I don't give a shit. All right? And they wrote me up for it, put me in the dungeon, and kept me there for 20-some days. But my point is that all of these Black Panther Party material that I have is related to my criminal conviction. And my criminal conviction is ongoing at this point in time. Earl King is not going to stop me or change my political beliefs.
Tell me a little bit about Camp J.
Camp J is designed to torture people. It's where they beat inmates. I've witnessed this myself. Being at Camp J, you cannot go in the yard unless you have restraints on, and you keep the restraints on, not on your legs, but a chain around your waist, and your arms is attached to the chain close by. Well, the SPCA wouldn't even tolerate this here with dogs. You know, I mean, you got blood dripping down your leg because as you walk, these heavy leg irons is rubbing and cutting through your legs. They put me up under a camera watching 24/7. When you look at Camp J, it's a psychological thing that goes on back there. You can't buy no food, level one, level two. You can't have no radio. You can't have anything unless you get to level three. And it breaks the spirit down of the inmate. It also wears his body down. When I went to Camp J, I had lost at least about 30 pounds in no time flat. You know, they're virtually starving you back then.
You were just threatened with being sent there, and you were sent there for a few days. Tell me about the visit that you were on and what they wrote you up for.
I was told that I had a visit. I had a pair of earrings. The earrings were of my design, and it had a panther, an image of a panther, on the earrings. So I took the earrings and I brought them downstairs with me. I went and asked for permission. They got arrogant and, you know, irritable about the whole matter. And so I was told to go to the captain, ask the captain for permissions. And this is what I did. I could see right off the hand, he already knew that I had the earrings. They were just waiting for me to do the wrong thing. But by me asking permission, he said, well, look, I'm going to write you up for this. I'm going to put you in a dungeon and your ass going to Camp J. I said, whoa, you confiscating my earrings? He said, no, I'm taking them.
Now tell me, what was in your pocket in addition to the earrings?
That was the poem, and they confiscated that. The poem starts with a title that I had put on it from a great psychiatrist, Fran Fanon, from the book, The Wretched of the Earth. If death is the realm of freedom, then through death, I escape to freedom. Which is a quote by Fran Fanon. The title of this poem is A Defiant Voice. They removed my whisper from general population to maximum security. I gain a voice. They removed my voice from maximum security to administrative segregation. My voice gave hope. They removed my voice from administrative segregation to solitary confinement. My voice became vibration for unity. They removed my voice from solitary confinement to the supermax of Camp J. And now, They wished to destroy me. The louder my voice, the deeper they bury me. I said, the louder my voice, the deeper they bury me. Free all political prisoners, prisoners of war, prisoners of consciousness. Herman Wallace, Angle 3. After the visit, they put me in the dungeon, and they kept me there. 2 days later, I go before the DB board, and the DB board finds me guilty for the earrings and the palm, and sentenced me to camp jail along with 30 days cell confinement. What they didn't know was that the lawyers were standing there and observed what had happened. On the report, Captain Burlon, that's his name, he made the statement that I was shipped down in a CCR lobby where the earring was found and confiscated from me. Never happened. How can they be confiscated from me in a CCR lobby when here I had them in my hand asking for permission? So I believe it was based upon their finding that this captain had fabricated and falsified those documents, and they released me from out of the dungeon and put me back in my cell. They dropped it all.
Can you describe how Angola has changed? You've been there for over three decades. How has Angola changed since the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s from what it was originally, which was a slave plantation?
Well, Angola changed as society changed. You know, its prison system is going to change also. And it's the same way as solitary confinement. Solitary confinement back in the days of antiquity, you were down in dark holes with the toilets in a floor and all of this type of stuff. Well, it's not like that nowadays. As our society evolved, so do solitary confinement. You have to understand, we were talking about the bloodiest prison in the country. And we're talking about men who were being stabbed and being raped, men constantly dying. You had this type of condition going on where even security had their hands in it, and they were taking and manipulating prisoners and taking and using their so-called homosexuals and stuff like this, and removing them, putting them in different places in order to control the inmate population. And it was working, but it wasn't working for the inmates. They didn't understand that. And so Albert and I and a few other brothers, we come together and we begin to re-educate these guys that's in prison. I used to be in the field and stuff. I used to take and do their work for them just so they wouldn't get cited for violations and stuff. Guys understood how sincere we were about this. What we did was brought a culture to these guys. When they're seen, some of us begin to stand up and fight it. The numbers begin to swell. And this is another reason why the administration want to keep us in here, because they understand the type of influence that we may have in our thinking on the inmate population of today, you know. And what's going on out there right now, it sucks, I'm telling you.
15 seconds left on this call.